It's Frank Morano with the newsmakers and information you need to start your day. 77 WABC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, and to you. This is Frank Morano on the WABC News Hour. We are going to bring you more news in 1 hour, hopefully with some commentary thrown in, than you will hear on the all-news stations all day. It is 38 degrees outside right now. It's going to be chilly today. Not quite so chilly as we experienced a couple of days ago. It is going to be 43 degrees this morning, getting up to 46 degrees this afternoon. Boy, that's very, very temperate by all measures. And by this evening, it'll be back down to 40 degrees. Slight chance of rain this afternoon, so keep an eye on that. Now, a ton of stuff happening in the news nationally, internationally, locally, etc. Now, the big news is there will be no government shutdown because President Donald Trump has signed the COVID stimulus bill / continuing resolution. That means every American that earns less than $75,000 a year will get at least $600. The reason I say at least is because the House of Representatives today is going to vote on upping those payments to $2,000. They've indicated, both Nancy Pelosi and the members of the so-called squad have indicated they want to pass that. Now, House Speaker Pelosi is calling on President Trump to get Republican lawmakers on board with more coronavirus stimulus money for Americans. The House is set to vote today on this measure, so we're going to keep an eye on that. So a second round of coronavirus relief checks is at least 2 weeks away. So those of you that have been postponing paying your credit card bills because you're not sure when this coronavirus stimulus money is coming, it will be at least 2 weeks away. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Now, former Department of Homeland Security official says it's time for investment in infrastructure after Nashville. That's right. A former top Department of Homeland Security official says the nation's infrastructure is in desperate need of investment. Elizabeth Newman told ABC this week, "It's long overdue," and she expressed hope that the incoming Biden administration will take on the issue. And we're all watching what's happening in Georgia with this upcoming Senate runoff election on January 5th. You have U.S. Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue asking for mercy for Skylar Mack. Now, the 18-year-old from Georgia is currently behind bars in the Cayman Islands for breaking the territory's coronavirus protocols. The senators have sent a letter to the U.S. Embassy in Jamaica on Mack's behalf. Mack's lawyer says she will serve 60% of her 2-month sentence, so she will be released around January 20th. This is crazy. And unfortunately, it's becoming a political issue because it's in Georgia, or because she's from Georgia, and because this is an issue that has become very, very charged politically. And by the way, speaking of politically charged, the New York Post is unloading both barrels on President Donald Trump today. The front page of today's New York Post, it's very rare that they put an editorial on their front page, but that's essentially what they've done here. They have a bad picture of President Donald Trump with him looking towards the ground, with the headline, this is the New York Post, not the New York Times, not the New York Daily News. Headline in the New York Post says, "Stop the insanity." And then the full front page of the New York Post reads, "The Post says, Mr. President, stop the insanity. You lost the election. Here's how to save your legacy." And then it goes on to say, in the preview of the editorial that they give on the front page, "President Trump's legacy will be ruined if he continues to cling to false claims about a stolen election, the Post says, and that encourages people to check out the actual editorial. The woman who fed Breonna Taylor, Dateline Louisville, Kentucky, the woman who fed Breonna Taylor protesters loses her home to fire. A GoFundMe page is raising money for a woman whose Louisville home was gutted by fire on Christmas Day. Shonda Lee is known in the area for the food she makes. She helped feed people who protested over the police shooting death of Breonna Taylor back in March. So far, the GoFundMe page has raised nearly $12,000 of its $20,000 goal. And Dateline New York City, Tom Hanks believes movie theaters will survive the COVID-19 pandemic. Tom Hanks thinks movie theaters are going to survive and prosper after the pandemic. During an interview with Collider for his new film, News of the World, Hanks discussed the movie, discussed the move of many films debuting on streaming services as movie theaters are forced to close due to the ongoing health crisis. Hanks says he believes that once theaters are allowed to reopen, they'll have the freedom of choice of what movies they're going to play and will still be the go-to release option for big-budget films. Boy, I hope so. I love going to the movies, and I would hate to think that movie theaters could soon become a thing of the past. So I am hoping that Tom Hanks is right on this one. And Flash Boy identifies 39 airlines in 60 seconds using airplane tails. This is incredible. A 12-year-old boy now holds the world record for identifying different airlines by their tails. Siddhant Gumber was able to identify 39 airlines using the tails of their airplanes within 60 seconds. His mother told Gulf News she made a PowerPoint to help him study the different plane tails. She credited his accomplishment to an exceptional picture memory and said he rarely forgets an image. Boy, is that a bright boy. That's certainly somebody you want to be sitting next to in whatever class he's in. My goodness. By the way, we're going to get an update on what's happening in the world of New York City politics with Zach Williams from City and State in just a few minutes. But I did first want to tell you about New York City's rolling COVID positivity rate, which is now just over 7%. On Saturday, the city's seven-day average was 7.07% after inching higher each day last week. Mayor Bill de Blasio reported the numbers via Twitter, adding, 2020 isn't over yet, and neither is this fight. It comes after de Blasio warned about shutting down the city following holiday celebrations as officials brace for a spike in new infections. And trains will be traveling through Penn Station's new transit hub this week. Yesterday, Governor Andrew Cuomo said the over $1 billion project would be completed on time and on budget despite challenges presented by the pandemic. Work began 3 years ago, transforming the landmark Farley Post Office into a new station across the street from the old Penn Station, where the Long Island Railroad and Amtrak will operate from. It's named for Democratic Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who championed this project before his passing in 2003. That would be very, very nice. I think that is certainly a worthy endeavor, and hopefully it can be done in the time that frame they're talking about. And in sports, the Giants, fell behind 17-0 and never recovered in a 27-13 loss to the Ravens of Baltimore. And the Giants enter the final week of the regular season still with hope for a playoff berth. And the Jets, all of a sudden, are on quite a winning streak. So the Giants fell behind 17-0, and they ended up losing 27-13 to the Ravens. New York's only touchdown was a 3-yard strike from Daniel Jones to Sterling Shepard with 8 minutes and 40 seconds left. The Giants fell to 5-10 still just a game back in the NFC East. Goes to show you how bad the NFC East is, because the Giants are going into the final week of the regular season and still have an opportunity to make the playoffs. A 5-10 team has the opportunity to make the playoffs. So the Giants need to beat Dallas and have Philadelphia top Washington in order to win the division. The Jets, for their part, are suddenly on a winning streak after starting the season 0-13. Gangrene beat the Browns 23-16 at MetLife Stadium for their second straight win. Sam Darnold threw two touchdowns, and Jamison Crowder threw another. It was the Jets' first home win. So a nice thing for everybody that was in attendance at MetLife Stadium. The thing you do worry about if you're a Jet fan is the fact that this could jeopardize them getting the number one pick in the draft next year. And this means that probably they're likely to be just as crummy next year if they don't get that number one pick, which, according to Christian, he claims that it's already a done deal. There's no way they will get that number one pick that will be going to Jacksonville. Although the person that the Jets are likely to get now is apparently somebody that's been compared favorably to Pat Mahomes. So they'll still get a good draft pick next year, even if it's not the one that would be a franchise-changing draft pick for the New York Jets. And the Yankees are remembering former knuckleballer Phil Niekro, longtime member of the Braves and the Yankees, passed away at the age of 81, pitched for 24 seasons, and won 318 games. Wow. You know, I don't know, now that we have the five-man rotation in baseball instead of four-man, I don't know that we'll ever see another 300-game winner, which is a sad thing. Hey, so I was on the radio yesterday filling in for Judge Jeanine Pirro, and I was actually alerted by Lydia Serrani, who's coming up later this hour, about a bomb threat at the Empire State Building. And we broke that story on our air yesterday. And the NYPD now says a bomb threat made against the Empire State Building was bogus. Cops say they received a 911 call around 11 a.m. Eastern saying a bomb would go off at the Empire State Building at noon. So police raced to the tower, but they didn't find any explosives. The threat came just days after an RV packed with explosives blew up in downtown Nashville. The suspect in that incident was killed in the blast. All right, let's find out what's happening in the world of New York politics momentarily. You're listening to the WABC News Hour, where we'll bring you more news in 1 hour than the all-new stations do all day. I'm Frank Morano. Straight ahead.
Early Mornings with Frank Morano on 77 WABC.
Boy, and I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn. Been having a sweet dream.
What a day for a daydream. Hopefully you're waking up from a sweet dream this morning at 22 minutes after the hour of 5, 38 degrees, getting up to 46 degrees this afternoon. I'm Frank Morano on 77 WABC. You know, I start my morning, well, I guess it's tough to know when my morning starts because I'm sort of nocturnal, but I used to start my morning by knowing what was happening in the world of New York politics by devouring the City and State First Read newsletter. And we have with us on the line right now a staff writer and reporter at City and State, one of the key architects of that newsletter that arrives in my mailbox around 6 a.m. every day. We got him up a little early this morning, though, so he could give you a preview of what will be in that newsletter so you don't have to worry about sitting at your computer waiting for 6 o'clock to roll around. Very, very pleased to be joined this morning by Zach Williams. Zach, good morning.
Morning, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. Zach, what are we going to be seeing in the City and State First Read newsletter this morning?
Well, things have been laying low for a couple of days because of the Christmas holiday. But, you know, all the talk in City and State politics, I think, for today is is really moving up to Albany, where the state lawmakers are reconvening today to pass a new eviction and foreclosure moratorium.
So what exactly will that look like? What period of time will this cover? Is there likely to be any drama about its passage? And what will that mean for renters and landlords alike?
The drama should be minimal, but we'll see what happens. There's a new bill got submitted on Christmas Eve, basically would stop all evictions and foreclosures for 60 days, with additional protections going to tenants for up through April 2021. So a bit stronger than the protections that are already in place by the governor. Tenant advocates have been pushing pretty hard for this. And after months and months of drama here and there, state lawmakers are reconvening in the final days of the year to get it done.
And how are landlords reacting? I can't imagine they're too pleased.
Well, there is a provision in the bill that allows landlords who own 10 or more units to get similar protections from their own foreclosures. That seemed to be a compromise number. Some might have been pushing for a little bit higher, some maybe for a lower number of units. But there is some protections for small landlords. But I imagine some of the big guys out there are not too happy about this new legislation.
Well, it's certainly going to be very interesting. All right. And we're talking with Zach Williams from City and State. How about politically, Zach? Has the race for 2021 and the mayor's race in New York City officially began, or are we waiting until the calendar physically changes in 6 days or in 4 days?
Oh, it's always campaign season here at City and State. The race, I think, for the 2021 mayor's race is well underway. So many candidates. I think more than a dozen already. You know, the big X factor there is how ranked choice voting is going to affect turnout and campaigning itself. You know, there hasn't been a lot of elbow throwing just yet. Maybe that's because the campaign is still just getting started. Or it could be a lot of people are thinking, you know, I don't want to make too many enemies out there because I want to be the second, third, or fourth choice for a lot of voters out there.
And tell me about the latest entrant into the mayor's race, Andrew Yang. How is his candidacy being greeted in Democratic circles?
Well, you know, he comes in with some advantages, big name recognition from his recent run for the Democratic presidential nomination, and certainly an ability to raise money. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of incredulousness by many in the political establishment because this guy just doesn't have a lot of the experience that most mayoral candidates bring to a race. You know, what are his plans for the NYPD? How is he going to pick up the trash? You know, what does he know about running the largest school district in the entire country? These are the questions that someone like Andrew Yang has to answer when they throw their hat in the ring for running for mayor. Right now, he'll get a lot of attention, but I think in the next couple weeks and months, the big question is going to be how much substance can he add to all the pizzazz that he brings to the campaign trail.
Now, and we're talking with Zach Williams from City and State. In the newsletter that City and State sends out every morning, you guys have this COVID tracker of how many cases, how many hospitalizations. How are things looking now in terms of the data as it relates to COVID?
Well, I was just looking at the numbers yesterday. Hospitalizations now are more than 7,000 statewide. That's still less than half of where things were at their height in April when it reached 18,000. But this is still the highest number of total hospitalizations statewide that we've seen since May 10th. I don't think anybody in New York wants to get to the bad days of March or April when ambulance sirens were everywhere in New York City. We're not there for sure. But the numbers are still trending in the wrong direction, especially that hospitalization number, which is the key metric that will determine whether or not there's any future shutdowns in New York City or anywhere in upstate.
And how are things going in terms of vaccine distribution in New York? Do we have any numbers, at least ballpark numbers, on how many vaccine doses are being distributed every day?
Well, the governor told reporters before the holiday that healthcare providers are going to be pushing through Christmas, continuing to give people vaccinations. The last numbers I heard were somewhere in the low five figures, somewhere around 50, 60,000 of the first doses of the vaccine. Remember, we got to get one dose and then another 3 weeks later. So we're still just getting 3 weeks into the first vaccination. So, you know, the people are just going to start getting the second round of vaccinations soon. And only then will people really be immune to the coronavirus. But I suspect right now we're approaching at 100,000 people across the state. But don't hold me to that number. The governor hasn't announced the latest numbers quite yet.
I won't hold you to it, Zach. Zach, thank you for getting up early. Appreciate the great work you do at City and State. Hope we can chat again soon.
Look forward to it. You take care.
Thank you. It's Zach Williams from City and State. If you're not subscribing to the City and State First Read newsletter, you're missing out because it's a great way. You don't even have to read all the papers. They read all the papers for you and then send you the headlines of all the stories that are worth hearing. Hey, speaking of vaccinations, some news on that front in terms of New Jersey. I'll tell you about it next. It is the WABC Morning News Hour. I'm Frank Morano. 38 degrees out there. We'll have a whole bunch more news throughout the rest of the half hour. And Lydia Serrani will be here. But first, let's check in with Susie Cerrone in our WABC Traffic Center.
Good morning. Start with Frank Morano. Entertaining and informative. 77 WABC.
Don't you been told about this guy right here?
Sit still and look pretty, Daya. That is something we are not doing on this program. We are up and at 'em at 5:33. It is going to get up to about 46 degrees, 38 degrees now. So you're going to want to bundle up, but you're not going to freeze to death if you're walking out there. A ton of interesting news coming your way. We're going to check in with Lydia Serrani a little later this hour, find out what's coming up on the morning show. Meantime, speaking of vaccinations, which we were just doing with Zach Williams from City and State, Dateline Trenton nursing home residents throughout New Jersey are getting vaccinated for COVID-19 today. Both CVS and Walgreens are taking part in a federal program to administer the shot to residents at 90 facilities. Health Commissioner Judith Paraskilly says the number of facilities is expected to go up as they start setting up vaccination clinics. Once nursing home residents and staffers are vaccinated, the efforts are supposed to move to assisted living facilities. Well, it clearly makes a lot of sense for both New York and New Jersey and other states that have these vaccines to start with people that are in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, because these clearly, if we've learned anything over the course of the last 7 or 8 months, these are the people that are the most vulnerable and the people who are much less likely to recover from the virus. Now, speaking of the virus, New Jersey is reporting its lowest number of new COVID cases in more than a month. Yesterday, the state reported 2,329 additional cases and confirmed 20 deaths related to the virus. Hospitalizations did increase slightly after dropping off 3 days straight. As of Saturday, 3,469 people have been hospitalized in New Jersey, which is still lower than the 7-month high that was reported last Tuesday. And in Paterson, New Jersey, an unlicensed hookah lounge in New Jersey has been busted by the police. More than 50 people were found celebrating a birthday inside La Cafe in Paterson Saturday night. Various hookah and accessories were found at the birthday party. Cops also say the owners locked the doors on authorities and attempted to sneak alcohol out the back of the establishment. In addition, police noted there were no fire alarms inside. I mean, honestly, how stupid can you be? And in Clifton, New Jersey, the New Jersey Attorney General's office is investigating after police officers shot at a man having an apparent medical crisis. Officials say officers shot at the man after he slashed a police officer in the face inside a hotel in Clifton early yesterday morning. The shots missed, but SWAT arrested the 35-year-old man after tasing him at the same moment he stabbed himself in the chest with one of the two knives he was holding. The man was taken to a hospital and underwent surgery. While the officer was treated for a facial wound, but the attorney general says he's looking into the officer's use of force. Well, perhaps we should look into that when the officer's not defending himself from being slashed in the face. In Long Island's Nassau County, the holiday season is coming to a close, and so is 2020. But Nassau County Executive Laura Curran is asking residents to pass on New Year's traditions amid the coronavirus pandemic. She says residents will need to keep gathering small for a little while longer, and she released a statement yesterday writing, quote, "Together we keep each other safe, avoid lockdowns, and build momentum for a strong recovery in 2021. Now, Long Island officials are saying that the risk of getting sick with COVID-19 is higher than it's been in months, whether it's Nassau or Suffolk County. People should exercise caution. And from what I'm seeing, I am seeing people scale down their gatherings, at least anecdotally, both in Long Island where I have family and on Staten Island where I have family. I am seeing a much more tame holiday season in terms of revelrous parties and things like that than I have in years past. Some sad news. A Levittown church is picking up the pieces after a Christmas Day fire. Good Shepherd Lutheran held Sunday Mass outside yesterday after a fire damaged the building. Now, the structure is still sound, but the church is collecting donations to help their reconstruction efforts. And in Times Square, they are getting ready to leave 2020 behind. And the New Year's Eve ball is ready to go. So yesterday, workers added 192 glittering Waterford crystal triangles to the 12-foot sphere in preparation for a pandemic-limited celebration. This year, new crystals were swapped in to display sunbursts representing gifts of happiness. The ball will drop at 11:59 on New Year's Eve for people around the globe who will be forced to watch from home. There's apparently no option to watch in person, but we'll see how much interest there still is in having people watch virtually. And just checking in with a few of the stories we're watching nationally, we're seeing a whole bunch of interest in terms of this COVID relief bill that President Trump signed yesterday that will help us avert a government shutdown, which would have taken place at midnight tonight. And it also means that within 2 weeks, you will be seeing, if you earn less than $75,000, you will be seeing a check for $600. And Dateline Rockford, Illinois, an Army sergeant based out of Florida is facing charges after a deadly weekend shooting at a bowling alley in Rockford. Three people were killed and three more hurt when shots were fired at the Don Carter Lanes on Saturday. Police say 37-year-old Duke Webb is the suspect, and he's set to appear in court today. And internationally, there's also a lot of interest and a lot of concern over the vaccine situation. A COVID-19 vaccination campaign is rolling out in Europe. Vaccination efforts began yesterday in several European countries. The initial drive focuses on getting the vaccination to healthcare workers and the elderly in extended or assisted living homes. The campaign will be active in the European Union's 27 member states. The Pfizer-BioNTech partnership that developed one of the world's first COVID-19 vaccines is playing the role of getting the EU's vaccination campaign jump-started. So, and number one at the box office this weekend, if you can even call it that, with so many people watching movies from home instead of watching them in movie theaters, was Wonder Woman 1984, the number one movie in the U.S. and Canada, earning nearly $17 million in its debut weekend. Coming in second is News of the World, starring Tom Hanks, which made almost $2.5 million in its first week of release. And rounding out this week's top five are The Croods, A New Age, Monster Hunter, and Promising Young Woman. It's no secret that it has been a tough year for movies in terms of them being closed, theaters being closed, and a lot of uncertainty about the future of the movie industry in general, at least as it relates to in-theater viewing. And AT&T is trying to help out customers impacted by the Christmas Day bombing in Nashville. The blast interrupted cell and internet services. AT&T says they plan to waive data coverage charges for customers in not only Nashville, but parts of Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, Missouri, Indiana, and Illinois until the 31st. And a judge is delaying the execution of the only woman on federal death row. A federal judge last Thursday ruled the Justice Department can't yet reschedule the execution of Lisa Montgomery. Now, her execution scheduled for December 8th was delayed after two of her attorneys tested positive for COVID-19. The 52-year-old Montgomery was convicted 16 years ago of strangling a Missouri woman who was 8 months pregnant, cutting out the baby, and kidnapping the child. I'm sorry to bring you that story so early in the morning, but it is news when we delay the execution of the only woman currently on federal death row. And according to a new report in the Wall Street Journal, more and more homicides are going unsolved. The murder rate jumped nearly 40% in the nation's 10 largest police departments in the first 11 months of 2020 compared to 2019. At the same time, however, the rate of solving murders at 9 of those departments dropped by around 7 percentage points to less than 60%. Police say mask wearing is making it harder to identify suspects, and many face-to-face interviews are being restricted or at least complicated. And if you think about that, that makes sense. I mean, a year ago, if you saw somebody walking around wearing a mask on the streets of any city in America, you'd think, oh, that person's probably a criminal. He's probably going to burglarize or kill someone or assault them. Now you see somebody wearing a mask on the streets of any major city, you think, oh, that person's being very responsible and trying to avoid giving someone the coronavirus. 38 degrees at 5:44. I am Frank Morano with all the news that you need to know here on 77 WABC, taking you until 6 a.m. when Dominic Carter and Lydia Serrani will be filling in for Bernie and Sid. We're going to chat with Lydia in just a few minutes, get a preview of what's coming up on their show. For those of you wondering what the majority of people are reading on Wikipedia, at least last year, it will probably come as no surprise to you to know that the coronavirus pandemic and politics account for the majority of Wikipedia's most read articles of the year. Leading the way was the pandemic with more than 83 million views. Wow. President Trump followed at number two, but with only 55.4 million views. Deaths in 2020 was number three on the list, and related to that, the late basketball legend Kobe Bryant was number seven on the most read Wikipedia list. And a Buffalo man who was imprisoned for 27 years for a crime he didn't commit created a Christmas gift for former President Barack Obama from the former First Lady. Valentino Dixon's artwork of golf courses and legendary players brought attention to his case and led to him being set free. Former First Lady Michelle Obama saw Dixon's story on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel and commissioned him to create a golf course image as a surprise gift for her husband. She chose Dixon's 20x30 drawing of the world-famous Augusta National Golf Club, and he's asked the Obamas to join him on his Draw and Talk With Me podcast. So that's a nice story. I certainly think it is. All right. We're going to chat with Lydia Serrani next, find out what's coming up on the morning show. If you want to stay in touch with me, you can email me at frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. And you could join our Facebook group at Morano Radio Fans and Haters. And we'll be back at 10 a.m. this morning on Talk Radio 107.1 with even more news, commentary, etc. And you will get to hear that by going to WABCRadio.com and clicking on the Talk Radio 107.1 icon. At 38 degrees and 547, let's get a look at the roads with Susie Cerrone in our WABC Traffic Center.
Frank Morano now. Bernie and Sid in the morning at 6. 77 WABC.
This is the WABC Morning News Hour. I'm Frank Morano. Taking you until 6 a.m., where, beginning at 6, the woman I am lucky enough to sit across from takes over the airwaves with one of my favorite people in the world, Dominic Carter. And that should be quite a show. Whenever Lydia Serrani and Dominic Carter pair with one another, it is always interesting and always informative, always a treat. Very, very lucky to be joined by two-time Emmy Award-winning journalist and WABC radio talk show hostess, Lydia Serrani. Good morning, Lydia. How was your Christmas?
Get the tea.
I'm glad you're listening so intently.
Get
I'll just say
the
that.
Tea. You said I was annoying. Yes, I was being very annoying. Normally when I come in, Frank, I see you. You're waiting for your COVID test.
That's
and you're,
true.
You're extremely exhausted because the COVID test lady, Olivia, lovely person, but she's extremely busy. She doesn't get here. She says she'll be here at 10, doesn't show up till like 11:30, and you're about to like pass out. And I worry about you. How are you going to get home?
Thank you. Yes, always the mom. You're always looking out for me. I do miss seeing you now that I'm nocturnal, but it is nice when you're working early and I'm working a little later that our paths can cross. Did you have a good Christmas?
I did. I did have a good Christmas. My daughter was basically like high for 2 days opening up all her presents. Presents. She's 3 years old, so she was opening up other people's presents.
Well, whose presents was she opening up?
My parents, everybody's. Oh. Anybody's presents, everything is hers.
Well, wouldn't she get disappointed when there'd be a gift geared for your parents? I mean, let's say she opens up a men's travel kit. I mean, that's not something that she's going to be too excited
about. She opens up like a coffee mug, and then she went, ooh, okay. It's just the excitement of opening it up. And you'd be like, no, that's not yours, Julia. And she's like, my presents. I have to open up the presents.
All right. So are you Bernie or Sid for the day?
I don't know. I guess I'll be Sid if I'm flexing and looking at myself in the mirror a lot and telling everybody how good looking and amazing I am. And then I'll be Bernie if I'm really smart and up to date on all the facts. And
I could see you playing either role. Yeah. What do you and Dominic have planned for the next 4 hours?
We have I can't believe it. Normally during, when you fill in for the holidays, there's not much to talk about, but there is so much to talk about. You got of course, the COVID relief bill. We're going to go into a little bit about that. Rand Paul is saying that working Americans don't need a check. I happen to agree with that. If you're working, you have a job, you don't need a handout from the government, because it's not like it's coming out of, Mark Zuckerberg's pocket. This isn't money that's just kind of given to you.
Right, it's borrowed.
It's borrowed. Exactly. You're going to have to pay this back. And so Dominic feels differently. We're going to be talking about the crime in the city, the street vendors. If you want to buy Rachel a fake Louis Vuitton bag, all you have to do is go down to 6th Avenue. I just can't believe what has happened. You can even buy a blue shell crab for a buck.
If you want to buy a shell crab?
Yeah, if you want to buy a crab.
Wait, do
in
I
Chinatown.
Have to cook the crab then?
I don't know. Who would buy seafood on a street
well,
corner?
Well, I might. I didn't realize it was only $1.
It's a dollar.
I am a crustacean enthusiast.
But
I may have to buy.
I read an account about it, and I know this is shocking. This woman ate it. She wasn't feeling well afterwards. Then her husband opens up the crab and saw it had worms.
Absolutely shocking.
It's
not worth $1. Not worth the dollar, as far as I'm concerned.
If you want to get clear out, you should just get the tea.
That's right. Getthetea.com. Getthetea.com. Promo code Frank when you order. It's the best product anybody can imagine. Talking with Lydia Serrano. She's going to be filling in along with my friend Dominic Carter from 6 to 10 with Bernie and Sid. They're going to be all over the stimulus situation. They're going to be all over these illegal street vendors that are taking over New York City. And what else are you guys focused on today?
Curtis and the Guardian Angels, they're patrolling Chinatown because apparently attacks on Asians is increasing once again. This kind of racism towards them, put on a mask, blaming them for the pandemic. I also want to talk, and I have to look a little bit deeper into it, regarding the whole situation with Florida. Everybody's saying they're faring better than we are, and they are open for business. I know of some people that went to Florida, and the restaurants are packed. It's like there's no pandemic there. And yet, when you look at the COVID rates and the per capita, they're kind of on par with what we're doing here as far as hospitalization and death, yet they're completely open. So it's kind of what's going on here? I don't know.
It is interesting. You know, you're seeing in New York City where indoor dining is closed. You're seeing now that it's chilly out, you're seeing a flood of people from places like Staten Island go out to Jersey to enjoy their indoor dining, and in Queens go out to Long Island to enjoy their indoor dining. So you have a situation where I'm not sure it's really stopping the activities that the authorities were worried about stopping. It's just making it more inconvenient for the people in these cities and more difficult for the restaurant owner in these cities. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So that sounds like an action-packed show. We got COVID. We got illegal street vendors. We have Curtis and the Guardian Angels, and crabs, the kind you eat. So, all right. This will be a lot of fun. Are you in all week for Bernie and Sid?
I am. Oh, I heard you talking about Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He flirted with me once.
Yeah.
But he was annoyed.
I think you've told me that story.
I tell everybody that story.
You've told me that story.
Because I was so shocked.
At least 20 times. And I think we've only had 22 conversations in the time that we've known one another.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. But yeah, I mean, somebody that hot, a rock star, flirts with you, you're like, what? What?
Now,
what?
When you said goodbye to him, did you say, as you did to Joe Piscopo, love you?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. And, okay. And guess what? Now Joe Piscopo follows me on Twitter.
Knowing Joe as I do, I am not the least bit surprised.
But you know, when he
that.
Sees me on Sundays, I don't dress up, obviously. I'm just wearing, like, you know, leggings or whatever. And I can tell he looks at me kind of almost like disappointed. Because during the week, I try to look nice. But on the weekends, it's my sixth day.
I'm the same way. I come in pajamas.
It takes work to look
exactly.
Cute, you know?
Exactly. Tell me about it. You think it's easy to look this good? All right. Lydia, it is always a treat to talk with you. I'll be listening for the next 4 hours. Have fun with Dominic. Give him my best. Lydia Serrano and Dominic Carter coming up for the next 4 hours. They're in all week for Bernie and Sid. Bernie and Sid will be back January 4th. I'll be back at 10 a.m. Go to WABCRadio.com. You can email me, frank.moreno@WABCRadio.com. Frank Moreno, good day.